This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big men. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Sky's a jam. Dunk and the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Billups. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Billups hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce, Detroit basketball.
Pistons fans, what's going on? Welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, brought to you by Believe. Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia here with you for this week's show. Jasper, we've got some great stuff to talk about. I'm excited to get into everything. We've got to talk about the naive, crazy Pistons fans that are trying to put Devin Booker on the Detroit Pistons. We've got a lot more to talk about as well, but excited to have you here with me. How you doing?
Yeah, great to be here, man. I'm ready to get into it. It's a beautiful summer. Well, I should say still early spring day in New York City. But you know what? There's nothing I'd rather be doing than sitting in my bedroom recording on a Zoom call with you, my friend. So let's get into it.
We're going to get it through all of this, and we're going to keep it probably a little bit shorter this week. We are going to hit on three different main topics. But we'll try to keep everything within a nice, concise 10 or so minutes for everyone listening or watching at home. Before we get into our first topic, though, I did want to shout out our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoffs. All of the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow all of your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport there is out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Okay, so we have a lot to get into this week. Before we do that, I also want to talk about the Palace of Pistons Substack. We need everyone's support right now. Take your 10, 15 seconds. Click the palaceofpistons.com link in the show notes, in the YouTube description. Go over, toss your email in there, subscribe to the Palace of Pistons Substack. Wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching from, there's going to be details in there in the show notes, in the description on how to do that. We've got a weekly drive newsletter coming from Mike every Monday now. I just had a piece come out on Devin Booker on Wednesday, so we've got a lot going on there. Also, for those listening or watching on YouTube, please take a moment to subscribe there. Follow us on Spotify if you're listening on Spotify. Same with Apple Podcasts. Wherever you're listening, follow, like, rate, support the show. We really, really need it and appreciate it. Let's get into the topics now, because that's what everyone's here for. we finally got a little bit more news on, I think, what's been a pretty quiet operation going on in Detroit, which is their president of basketball operations search. We had some updates, according to Mark Stein, a league reporter for over a dozen years now. He listed off some names that the Pistons have some interest in or are going to be on the team's candidate list. Some of those names that he mentioned: John Horst of the Milwaukee Bucks, Tim Connelly of the Minnesota Timberwolves, was also previously with the Denver Nuggets before going to Minnesota. Also had Dennis Lindsay, the former Mavs consultant and executive. I think he also worked with the Utah Jazz as well. And then another very interesting name, a former Arne Tellem client, J.J. Redick. He specifically reported that the Pistons were interested in him if Redick opted to go into the B-ball ops side rather than coaching. But there was also another report out there, and this one I forget who it was from, but they mentioned Redick as a potential candidate for the team's head coaching position if the new Pobo comes in and removes Monty Williams from his position as the team's head coach. One other name that I saw that was new to me came from Ian Begley of SNY. He reported that former Knicks GM Scott Perry is also a very serious candidate for the Pistons' president of basketball operations position. Jasper, this is really the first like concrete list of names of guys that are expected to be on Detroit's list of candidates. I know there was a piece written initially when the Pistons were going to open up that search by James Edwards III of The Athletic, citing some names that he thought could be a fit for the job or might be of interest. But that was more of, at least it read to me, a speculation rather than reporting. This is more of a report on guys that the Pistons are linked to as potential candidates for the Pobo position. Any of those names stick out to you?
Absolutely. I mean, Connelly, of course, has to stick out to anybody who is following the NBA after what he's done with not just the Nuggets, but also with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who look fantastic, absolutely dominated the Phoenix Suns, including a player who we're going to be talking about in a little bit as well, Devin Booker. I think John Horst is another guy who has to move the needle for a Pistons fan if you're paying any sort of attention to this president of basketball operations search. I think Scott Perry's another very interesting candidate as well. I mean, the Knicks decided not to bring him back after his contract expired in 2023, but you look at where that team is. They may be closing out the 76ers tonight. We don't know yet. That game's not till 9. But there's a lot of interesting names in there. I think J.J. Redick is the one that a lot of people are going to have the strongest reactions to, both positive and negative. For me, I don't think I would be super interested in giving him a ton of power at this point in time, especially as a head coach. Look, there are former players who have gone on to very successful coaching careers, but what you usually see is those guys struggle a little bit in the first couple of years. Like anything in the NBA, there's an adjustment period. Whether you're a player or a coach, there are certain guys that are special and can come in from day one and just be excellent. But you look at just the track record of former players as coaches, they need a little bit of time in order to really come into their own. And I think there's just an adjustment period that the Pistons are not in a position to figure out right now. Do I want the Pistons to go the younger route when it comes to coaches? Yes. I want them to go for somebody that's going to be more on the analytics side of things, who's going to be looking at the numbers like J.J. Redick obviously does, if you ever listen to him. But there's more that goes into being a coach than just the numbers, right? There's the player side of it, the human side of it. And I frankly just don't know if J.J. Redick has that right now. There's certain minutiae that you have to understand from day to day. There's a level of commitment that's needed. And as of right now, J.J. Redick, who's never even been an assistant coach, I believe he's coaching his kids like third grade team. That's a pretty big step up to the NBA from third graders. So I for me, he'd be an interesting candidate to have a position in the front office or a position on the coaching staff. I don't know if I'm necessarily all the way in on him, however. I think there's probably better candidates the Pistons can be looking at. But for the president of basketball operations search, look, John Horst, Tim Connolly, if you get either one of those guys, in my eyes, it's a home run. It absolutely is. And they're going to cost you. But there is a Detroit connection with Horst. And there is a Detroit connection also with Scott Perry. I believe he went to U of D Jesuit in high school. So there's definite local ties there. Perry would be a guy I'd be very interested in because he brought in a player that you and I were not all that sold on. And I think we are kicking ourselves for that now. Oh, yeah. In Jalen Brunson as a free agent. Boy, it sure would be nice to have him for that contract, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'll say this. I look at the list of names that we're starting to see come together for the position, for the candidates list, and I'm encouraged because these are all names that, outside of J.J. Redick, who, from what I read, is more of the hope or the interest would be in like a assistant type of role, you know, not the guy in the front office. But this entire list of candidates that Mark Stein reported are all guys with a strong reputation around the league. They have a body of work that shows they know the job, have had success in the job, and can build a team. And that is something that I'm not sure that the Pistons have truly had under Troy Weaver. He can do some things, but some of the stuff that we've talked about for really since he got here, some of those moves that you have to be able to make to build a roster, bringing in the right role players, bringing in the right veterans. That's something that Weaver has really, really struggled with in his tenure. And that's where you need a new guy who can get you those players, make those decisions, make those moves based off of the experience that they already have. It's something Weaver wasn't able to do. And I think that's a big reason why we're sitting here talking about this Pobo search. They need a guy with experience. They need a guy with a body of work. All of these names have it. You know, I don't know if you or I can look at this list and say, well, John Horst is the most qualified because of reason A, reason B, and reason C. But I think we can look at this list and say it's a good list. There are all candidates that have experience, that have had success in the role or in a similar role as their team's general manager. And so that's my biggest takeaway. Like, I personally look at this list and there's not a name that comes out to me as like, oh, I don't think he's the guy for the Pistons. I don't think that's a guy the Pistons should be interviewing or talking to. Like, if the Pistons ended up with John Horst or with Tim Connolly or with Dennis Lindsay or with Scott Perry, from the outside, knowing what we know, you know, it's just dudes in the public, like any of those guys would be a good hire for this team. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the reasons why all these names really are pretty appealing is not just because they have a track record, but because these are guys that have been in that GM position. These are guys that do have that cachet across the league and cachet in their own front offices. And when we're talking about, look, I don't think either of us really believe that Troy Weaver will be back this year.
Not at all. Not at all.
But
I do.
But if he is, I think that you can talk yourself into that outcome a little easier if you have somebody like a Tim Connolly or a John Horst overseeing him, to where, you know what I mean? There's a very specific role for Troy, but there's somebody over him who has that credibility, right?
Put yourself in Troy Weaver's shoes there. Do you think that he's going to want to essentially take a demotion and have to take orders from a new guy who's doing the job that he initially joined this franchise to do? Like, in you know, if I were in those shoes personally, I couldn't see myself sticking around for that. I mean, I guess I could do it if I was making millions of dollars and I needed that money. You know, that's the That's the only reason I could see it. But I also feel like if you're Troy Weaver, there's at least another franchise that you could go to and still do a similar type of job or be an assistant GM somewhere. It's just, I don't know if I could do it for the team that's telling me we don't trust you enough anymore to be the head honcho of this operation.
I think there's a politics element that comes into play there that we just truly don't have the inside track on, that like we are just not going to be able to know. We don't know how Troy Weaver's going to take it. That being said, what you just described, that to me sounds like a Troy Weaver problem. I'm not interested in Troy Weaver problems anymore. If that is a problem for him, best of luck to you, brother. Go take some time off. Go join another organization. Go hang out with your good buddy Rob Murphy or something. That to me, it does not matter. And if he does have an issue with it and it's not something that he can deal with, then best of luck, brother. Like have a good time. But there needs to be an advancement of this front office. It's just not working right now, and that's something we've seen for a long time. That does not even enter into my mind, to be honest with you, when it comes to something like this, nor should it. And I hope it doesn't enter into Tom Gorris's. It certainly didn't when he overruled all of Troy Weaver's coaching candidates last year and went for Monty Williams. So I don't see it being any different this time.
Yeah, no, I just think it's something to consider if you're Troy Weaver. Like, you want to essentially take a demotion, and maybe he will if, the paycheck clears, Maybe that's his mindset. That's fine. I'm just, from his standpoint, I'm wondering what his thoughts are on the situation. Stein did report, and I think this is maybe just as important as the candidate list. He did also report that the search is expected to really ramp up throughout the second and third rounds of the NBA playoffs. So hopefully some progress to be made at some point by next week. We'll maybe have another update on where the Pistons are at with this search. If certain candidates are more likely than others at that point, like we talked about last week, this is probably something Detroit needs to get done here with the draft lottery 10 days away from this Thursday that we're recording on. So that leaves you, a little over a month after that before the draft. So things got to get moving here for the guy that's going to be coming in and taking over this Detroit front office. So hopefully some more updates not too far away on that front.
I think we're in agreement on this, Aaron. It's got to happen before the playoffs are over. Like, before the finals, I think you need to have...
Going to June without a POBO.
It can't happen.
You got to get it done.
Yeah.
There's too much to do in, there's not going to be an off day for whoever this new president of basketball operations is. You know, as soon as he walks in the door, there's... Who else am I bringing with me? What other roles am I creating? What roles am I cutting?
Who am I kicking out? Like, who's gone?
And like, what has our scouting department done for the last, year? Like, who have they looked at? What do we have? How much do I have to do now? Am I trying to trade the pick? So there's just so much work that has to be done. Yeah.
The search. And there could be a coaching search involved in that as well.
There's so much to do. So there has to be a sense of urgency, not only to get the search done, but once the search, is completed, that president of basketball operations is going to have to move with some real urgency as soon as he walks in the door at the Pistons Performance Center.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, let's move into our second topic. This one a little more timely with what's going on around the NBA and in the playoffs, with the Phoenix Suns being absolutely embarrassed and swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves in the opening round of the playoffs. Pistons fans have done as you would expect they would do. They've hit the trade machine. They are trying to get Devin Booker on the Detroit Pistons. Jasper, is this realistic for the Pistons to think that, or for Pistons fans to think that this team could land Devin Booker?
I hate to say it, especially after you wrote about this very thing. No, I don't think this is going to happen. And that's not just because Matt Ishbia came out today and literally said, Devin Booker's the face of our franchise and will be for the next 10 years. I think there's just too many things involved in this. One, straight up, like, I just don't think the Pistons have the capital to pull it off, especially when you look at other teams around the league, teams that are going to either be retooling or rebuilding or whatever the case may be. There's too many other teams with more attractive packages out there, especially if the Suns are trying to rebuild through the draft, which, to be clear, I don't think they are going to do. I think Matt Ishbia is exactly the kind of guy that you see on the news and, you know, in your Pablo Torre exposés and the such. I think he is a guy who has gotten used to getting what he wants and is not going to accept anything less, at least not right now. So I expect not only the Phoenix Suns to just hold on to Devin Booker, I expect them to try and reload next year. We will see what happens with Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. Beal still has that no trade clause. But yeah, I just don't think Booker is a realistic target for Pistons fans. One, because I don't think the Suns are interested in trading him. And two, because if they were, there's just frankly better deals out there. Some of them by teams that can trade their picks moving into 2027. So
what a concept.
Believe it or not. I don't, even if they get the number one pick, I mean, I just don't see how, like, the number one pick and Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren even is, I just don't see how that's appealing enough for a team like the Suns when they still have Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal on the roster. Frankly, I think Beal with his no trade clause is actually more realistic of a target for Detroit, and he's not a very realistic target at all.
Yeah, Bradley Beal is not going to say, I'll move to Detroit while he's living in Arizona. I don't think that's realistic either. But here's what I'll say on Devin Booker, and this is what I wrote in the opening line of my piece on palaceofpistons.com. The Pistons should have drafted him when they had the chance, because there's no way in hell you're trading for Devin Booker. It's a fairy tale story where he comes home, where he comes to the state that, you know, he grew up in or whatever. It's just not realistic. This is reality. And there's no world where the Pistons can make that happen. Like, Devin Booker might be a part of Devin Booker that wants to play for Detroit. I'd be willing to bet there is a part of him that wants to, considering, you know, the way he represents the various teams in the city of Detroit, you know, and all of that. But the Pistons don't have the juice for that. What do the Pistons have that even gets Phoenix on the phone? Because I can go and I can say San Antonio's got 5 first-round draft picks. They've got young players just like Detroit does. Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sochan, Keldon Johnson. Those guys and all of the picks that San Antonio has to offer gets Phoenix on the phone more likely than Detroit does with anything, you know, that's not Cade Cunningham. If Cade Cunningham were on the table, maybe it's a different story. Maybe it is, but the Pistons aren't moving Cade Cunningham. So they're not, you know, they can offer Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren and the 2024 first and the 2028 first and the rights to Tom Gore's yacht for 6 months of the year. It's just not happening. There's no world where it happens. So as fun of a story as it could be, you know, it's something, you know, that, you know, would make its way into a kid's book as a fairy tale. it's just not happening. And I think that's what Pistons fans, you know, as unfortunate as it is for them, they have to understand that. I think the other discussion here is, because it's not just about Devin Booker, but it's about stars in general that might be on the move this offseason. The Pistons don't have the assets to get involved in those top 20 player type of trade talks. You know, if any top 20, top 25 player becomes available, I just don't know if the Pistons are going to have enough to beat out other teams' best offers. And it's not like the Pistons are going to be the only team trying to buy this summer. There's going to be other teams trying to find their way in the market for a star, whether it's Trae Young, whether it somehow is Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, like whoever becomes available, Donovan Mitchell, like, there will be teams lining up to hop on the phone with those teams' president of basketball operations or general manager and trying to hash out a deal. And I just don't know if Detroit has enough assets to get involved in that. And I think a large part of that is they can't trade a first-round pick outside of the 2024 one once it gets settled in the lottery. And then the 2028, they can't trade the 2025, the 26, or the 27. And that's because of the Isaiah Stewart trade that Troy Weaver made in his first month as the team's general manager. So I just fear that's going to limit what Detroit can do this offseason. And it puts a wedge in all of these talks that we're going to continue to have about guys that may or may not be available that the Pistons would probably love to add to the roster. They just might not have the assets to beat out other teams.
It's really incredible that basically the second move Troy Weaver ever made is probably the move that will haunt him and haunt this franchise for the longest period of time in trading that first round pick for Isaiah Stewart. It really is incredible. Like, when you look back on it, it's like day one, this guy shot himself in the foot so hard that he's hobbled forever. It's truly incredible. I'm also now thinking about the visual of like Tom Goris's yacht getting parked in like a man-made lake in the middle of the desert in Arizona. I just think that'd be really cool. Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, you would love to be in those discussions, but for the reasons you just outlined, Aaron, it's not feasible. If you had the picks, if you had multiple picks, you could move. Maybe that changes the equation. Maybe it does. Maybe then you go, okay, here's Durin. Here's 2-3 first-round picks over the next 4 years. But even then, like, God, would that really make you feel comfortable? Because the Pistons are so far off from even being mediocre at this point in time to where making that trade for a star, it might not be worth it, because you could be looking, even if you did somehow pull it off, you could be looking at having to rebuild in a year or two anyway. Like, you still haven't locked in Cade Cunningham to that Supermax. It has not happened yet. There's no extension that's been worked out there. So this franchise, it's incredible. After 4 years of rebuilding, they are in basically a very similar situation to where they were when they started rebuilding, where you said, like, I don't really know what this team has to where they can get better other than cap space and some young players. And like, that's where they were in 2020 when they drafted Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes, and Isaiah Stewart. So it's truly incredible that they are here. After all this time, it's kind of shocking. As for the Devin Booker thing, it's so funny to me that people, they go like, oh, well, he wears Tigers hats. Like, he must want to play in Detroit. Brother, I live in New York City. I rep for Detroit all the time. I wear my Tigers hat. I wear my Pistons gear. that doesn't mean I'm coming back to work for United, like UWM anytime soon. Like, I just think that's so funny. Like, God, I love Detroit forever, but man, what a provincial town it can be sometimes, where you go, well, somebody likes us, they might just want to live here all the time.
I think the reality for the Pistons is that they're operating in that, can they land a guy that's in the top 25-ish to 60-ish player in the league? And that's a pretty big variance, but that's the unfortunate reality for where they're at asset-wise. I think getting a guy inside the top 25, it's going to be really, really difficult for them. Like, if there's a world where they could get Trae Young, you know, that would probably be, you know, if he's a top 25 player in the league right now, I'm not sure. I'd say he's probably right around there. You know, that would probably be the best of the best that they could get involved in. But when you're talking about these, you know, elite of elite players, again, the Pistons just don't have enough to make that happen, unless for some unknown reason, a player demands, hey, I want to go to Detroit, which this isn't, it's not going to happen. So I think the Pistons are operating more so in that, you know, can they get a top 50 guy? Can they get a Brandon Ingram? Can they get a DeJounte Murray? Can they get, you know, a Lauri Markkanen, who might even be a top 25 player right now? I don't know. Maybe kind of like a top 30, 35, but like, you know, a good player. Like, and these are good players and they would help this team. But that's, you know, another part of this discussion where it's like, yes, these guys are good and they would help get this team closer to getting into the playoffs. But in terms of actually doing damage and being able to like actually make significant progress, not being able to get a star player. Like, think about what happened for Cleveland being able to get Donovan Mitchell. Like, that turned them into not just like a young team on the rise, but it turned them into a perennial team in the Eastern Conference. And now they're on the verge of getting back to the second round of the playoffs. And that's just not a pathway that looks obtainable for Detroit right now. So I think they're operating in that next tier of guys that, you know, maybe they can make a splash for. And I think that's why Brandon Ingram's been such a popular name, because he's had some, you know, some big stretches. He's been an all-star before, but he's maybe just kind of on the outside of that. He's more of like a number two, number three guy. He's not a number one guy. And that's kind of the best the Pistons can do right now.
I don't think he's gettable, but a guy who's in that kind of same tier is like a Michael Porter Jr. Like, I don't think, especially if they win it again, I don't think the Nuggets are going to be looking to blow it up anytime soon. But like, yeah, I think that has to be more the expectation for Pistons fans. Like, somebody in that second tier of small forwards, you know, shooting guards, power forwards, positions don't really mean anything in today's NBA. You know, it's bigs and ball handlers is basically, and even now, I mean, bigs can be ball handlers. So it's all meaningless, but yeah, there has to be, I think, by Pistons fans, a restructuring of your expectations. A guy like Devin Booker, it's just not going to happen, but there are good players that are going to be gettable. And the playoffs are absolutely going to play a big part in how teams move on. Like, let's say the Cavaliers do end up losing this series to the Magic. There's a very good chance, in my opinion, that they move on from one of Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell. You know, players like that even would be very, very difficult for this team to get. But like those second, third tier stars, I think that's where you need to kind of set your sights. And there are going to be players in that kind of stratosphere that will absolutely help this team move forward. It just depends on what the new president of basketball operations wants to prioritize next to Cade Cunningham, because that has to be priority number one. If you don't re-sign him, if you don't put a decent team around him, it's all meaningless.
Can I interest you in Jimmy Butler? I saw some stuff today that Butler was looking for a big-time contract extension, wanted to get paid one more time. Not necessarily sure if the Heat are going to be the team willing to pay him. Like, that's like a guy that if he did decide to leave Miami, you know, is that a guy that's worth spending your best assets on at, you know, what is he now going to be? What is he, 30, going to be 35 or something like that?
Yeah, he's going to be 35 next year. To me, no, I can't justify that. I mean, look, for the right price, anybody at this point, the Pistons just need players. Like, they need real NBA players, and they need leadership. Jimmy Butler definitely has leadership. Jimmy Butler definitely is going to work on defense. Jimmy Butler can absolutely help you with the toughness aspect. I mean, him and Isaiah Stewart, my God, those are a couple guys that'll fight anybody in the league, I feel like. But no, it doesn't seem like a good fit, especially if you're paying him what Jimmy Butler's going to want to get paid, which is probably upwards of $50 million. Like, you're talking probably 165 million dollars over the next 3 years, something like that. That's a huge investment. Huge investment. And I think, you know, not to just pile on Troy Weaver again, but like, really outlines just how kind of meaningless the Pistons having $60 million in cap space is. Because you sign one guy to a huge contract, you still have a bad team around him, and now you don't have any cap space. Oh, and by the way, you need to re-sign Cade Cunningham. So you're about to be like in the luxury tax if you sign one star player this offseason. So no, I'm not really all that interested in Jimmy Butler, but
see, I'm kind of on the flip side. Like, if they could do a 2 or 3 year deal where, you know, he's getting the 50 something million dollars a year that he wants, like, he wouldn't have to be the go-to scorer. He could just kind of do a little bit of everything, and he gives you that edge. He gives you that experience. He gives you the leadership. I mean,
I'm imagining what happened when he was on the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's really what I'm thinking about right now.
It's just the Pistons.
You know what I mean?
Literally anything. And I think, like, it'd be a little naive to say after winning 14 games, like, oh, Jimmy Butler, like, no, I'm good. Like,
I'm not saying that.
No, I know. I'm just saying he's not the perfect choice, but I don't know. I'd be at least a little intrigued by it, even if it's not like the best option. Man, he would still help this team at 35, 36 years old. Like, he'd still be right up there as, you know, the best player on the team.
I'm just imagining him like running fives with like Buddy Boeheim next to him and like just absolutely demolishing the Pistons starting lineup and talking garbage to them the whole time. Like, nah, dude, I can't. You know what I mean, man? Like, I can't have somebody going on a podcast in 3 years and being like, yeah, you know, I thought this year was going to be decent in Detroit, then we signed Jimmy Butler and he embarrassed the entire team while talking garbage to us, then requested a trade out of town 2 days later. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right, fair enough. I think this is where we can move into our final topic. Moving out of like the talk of trading for players, we're going to focus here on free agency for a minute. Again, the Pistons, they're not landing any of these like top tier free agents, LeBron James or any of these top restricted guys, you know, Tyrese Maxey or any of those guys. Like, that's just not happening. So moving into kind of like that B, C tier of free agents, here's a list of six guys, and I'm going to give you this list, and I want you to tell me which one, or if you want to give me two, like, which one or two of these guys are you most interested in for the Pistons? As I'd say all of these guys have at least some realistic possibility of landing in Detroit this summer in free agency. So here's the list: DeMar DeRozan, Miles Bridges, Tobias Harris, Nicholas Claxton, D'Angelo Russell, and Malik Monk.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Any of those guys stand out to you? Because, again, I think that's the ballpark that the Pistons are playing in. They're looking at trying to get maybe one or two of those guys, or maybe one of these guys, and then making a trade for a maybe all-star-ish type guy, and that's kind of like the big moves they can make this summer.
Well, first off, I'm interested in all of them to some extent or another, because let's be honest, any guy on that list steps onto the court for the Pistons next year, you know, and nothing else changes, they're instantly the second or third best player on the team. Like, unless Jalen Duren or Ausar or Jaden Ivey takes a leap that we were hoping to see from them this year, they take it next year. I think those guys are, yeah, they're stepping on the court and they're option number two, option number three, day one. And that includes a guy like Nick Claxton. You said I could name two, so I will name two. I think for me, if you could go out there, you could sign Nick Claxton, you could sign Malik Monk, I'm feeling pretty good about where I'm at. And obviously there's, you know, we're not bringing into, you know, into the conversation like trades right here. For me personally, the Pistons spend their offseason, they go out, they trade for Brandon Ingram, they sign Malik Monk, they sign Nick Claxton. I'm feeling a lot better about this roster going into next year, because then I think you shored up a lot of your holes, and maybe Jalen Duren's part of that trade package for Ingram. Maybe he's not. Maybe it's Isaiah Stewart. I don't quite know. Maybe you're getting back like a Jonas Valanciunas as well. Who's to say? But yeah, I think something like Monk and Claxton would really interest me, because they're not star players, but they are guys that absolutely have a role on any NBA team they step onto. D'Angelo Russell, also interesting to me for sure. For me, like, Bridges, too much baggage. DeRozan, a little too old, doesn't fit what the Pistons need, which is outside shooting at this point. Like, they need somebody who can shoot. They need rim protection. Tobias Harris, another one where it's just like, sure, but like, I think there's probably better options for you with that cap space. And I think Malik Monk could be a guy that steps in immediately, whether it's as a starter or coming off the bench. Ideally, Jaden Ivey gets better next year, and you're bringing Malik Monk off the bench, and then you're talking about a very, very, very dangerous backcourt with three options that can really, really hurt you in a variety of different ways. I think that would be very appealing. Nick Claxton, same thing. I just think you need to push Jalen Duren. And if that lights a fire under his butt and he gets better, and he, you know, and the Nick Claxton deal becomes kind of an overpay because he's not playing as much, so be it. Like, I can live with that. But I also need to make sure that there is flexibility with this front court and that you're not putting all your eggs into that one basket. I also just think Claxton like has a role on this team regardless, even if he is playing 20 minutes as a backup, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy that can step in as a backup center and really help you, especially if you are, you know, dedicated to Isaiah Stewart at the four. So I think it just gives you a lot more flexibility if you do want to trade Duren, if you do want to trade Stewart. Yeah, those would be the two guys that I would be most interested in, because I just think that they give you the thing that the Pistons have not had since Troy Weaver took over. Flexibility. Flexibility at a multitude of positions. They haven't had it. I want to see it.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you that I'm interested in all of these guys to a certain extent. I think the guy out of this group that I'd be least interested in is D'Angelo Russell, simply from the standpoint of, if you're going to sign D'Lo, I think I'd rather just give another season to Jaden Ivey and see if he can mesh alongside Cade Cunningham. I definitely would, out of the guard, two guards in this group, prefer Malik Monk simply because, you know, he can come off the bench. He can play more of an, you know, off the ball role. Whereas Russell's definitely going to have the ball. And I think I just would rather see Ivey given another opportunity. I think the guy I'm most interested in is Claxton. I'm not totally out on Duren. I am very concerned with the season that he had at this point. And I don't think it would be bad to have two good options to play, you know, the center position. I mean, after what Detroit did this year with James Wiseman, like, it showed bigs do really matter. And so this would actually give Detroit another big that's capable of playing, and I think would have the, you know, the rights to start over Jalen Duren if both were kept on the same team. But yeah, I'm interested in Bridges. I'm interested in Harris. I think both those guys give Detroit help at the four spot, something that they desperately need: shooting, scoring, experience, things like that are, you know, vital for a team that again needs guys and needs guys that have experience. I could be talking to DeMar DeRozan too. Not the perfect fit, I guess. I'm a fan of the way that he plays. I think he's just gone so under the radar in Chicago. I mean, he had an incredible season for the Bulls this year. And it's like, he just doesn't get talked about as like being a really good player. And I think he is. Like, what he does, how he scores, how he's kind of changed his game over the years. Like, came into the league, was a lot of just high flying, transition, big time dunks. He's completely changed. He's become much more of an all-around player as well. I could be talked into DeRozan just from the standpoint of, like, I'm a fan of what he's done in the league, and I think he's underappreciated. I can also say, like, yeah, I guess the fit isn't perfect with this team, considering they're going to likely be playing a five that can't stretch the floor. They have Asar Thompson. And then we haven't seen, you know, consistent outside shooting from Jaden Ivey or, you know, even I guess Cade Cunningham yet. Like, both of them can hit threes. Both of them had some stretches, but not like a full season or anything like that where they're consistently good three-point shooters. So I'd get the spacing issues there. So yeah, I guess, like, if I had to make a choice or if I had to rank them, I think I'd go Claxton, Bridges. It'd be any, you know, I think Tobias, DeRozan, Monk are all like pretty equal. And then Russell is just at the bottom for me if I had to rank them.
Really? For me, I mean, look, I said Monk because I think I like him a little bit more as a playmaker than D'Angelo Russell at this point. But, like, dude, D'Angelo Russell over the last, like, 4 years is a 38% three-point shooter on over 7 attempts per game. Like, that is meaningful. And a lot of those minutes, a lot of those threes have come without LeBron James, which in many players' cases, I think you have to qualify that with, like, you're playing with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. No duh, you're getting a lot of good three-point looks. But, like, he's done it over the last few years, not just with LA, but with Minnesota as well. And even with Brooklyn. I mean, what, 2020? I mean, he shot 37% from three on almost 10 attempts per game. That's some pretty incredible volume and very good efficiency. And that's something that the Pistons really need. I'd be much more interested in him than DeRozan. I think DeRozan plays in many of the same areas of the floor that Cade Cunningham does, and in a very similar style to how Cade does. Like, Cade's a better shooter. Cade's a better playmaker. Yes. But those guys both really like to get into the mid range and get to the basket through their mid range game. So I worry about that fit, I think, a little bit more. Whereas I've seen both Malik Monk and D'Angelo Russell be able to take a bit of a backseat as a playmaker. And I think when you look at both those players and what they're doing with LeBron and De'Aaron Fox, respectively, and honestly, Domantas Sabonis, you can't forget about, I mean, Sabonis was incredible as a playmaker this year. I think their ability to step into that playmaking role, but also take a back seat and operate more as a shooting threat, I think that's something that's far more appealing to me.
Yeah, I guess I think a couple of the drawbacks to Russ with me, the defense, and I think all of these guys are not known to be good defenders outside of really Claxton. None of these guys are known to be good on that side of the floor, but it's the defense. It's do I want him coming in and paying him the type of money that he's going to command to take the ball out of Kate Cunningham's hands, to take the ball out of Jaden Ivey's hands, or potentially mean that the team's going to move away from Jaden Ivey? Like I said, I think I'd just rather see Ivey given another year, another opportunity to see if he can make it work. I think it's easier to integrate Monk in that like third guard type role. And yeah, I think DeRozan, like I said, the fit's not great. It's more so just like the appreciation that I have for him as a player of like, shit, like just try it, like see if it works, whatever. That's kind of where I'm at. And also maybe I'm a little bit bitter about how much Russell disappeared in the playoffs this year for the Lakers too.
Yeah, he had a couple good games. He had some bad games too. Let's not get it twisted.
Bad games, you know.
He had a couple good games. He had a couple bad games. It is what it is. They're playing the defending champions. What you gonna do? But yeah, I think all those guys are appealing in some way or another. And let's be honest, like a big part of that comes down to just like the Pistons stink. Like this team stinks. This roster stinks. You're so far away from being even decent. You need players and you need an identity. I think that's another reason why I would like Malik Monk on this team is he's a guy who plays with a lot of fire, a lot of passion. And that is just something the Pistons absolutely need. Like there was so many games this year where they were just checked out mentally checked out. And I think that that's something that more so Monk than D'Angelo Russell could really bring to this team. Like a guy who's just going to be like, I don't care what the score is. I don't care where we're at. I don't care that you're young. We are going out there and we are going to compete. And I know that matters because he came to a Sacramento franchise that was in the doldrums. And because of players like him, worked their way out of it. So I think that there's definitely like a lesson to be learned there. Same with D'Angelo Russell. Honestly, like he helped make those Brooklyn teams from just terrible post Garnett trade, you know, Garnett Pierce trade, into a really fun, competitive young team that was then able to make a swing for the fences. So I just think you need guys like that on this roster. Like we keep talking about, you know, the stars and all that stuff, but at a certain point, you just need an identity as a team. I think before you can keep going anywhere as a franchise, you need to set an identity in stone. You need to take that clear path towards the future, much like a team like Sacramento did, much like one of, you know, the Pobo candidates, Tim Connolly, did with both Denver and with Minnesota. Yeah, like they chose a path, they picked an identity, and they built a team around that. And I think that that is really got to be priority number one when it comes to the front office and when it comes to the product on the court.
I'm interested in what the people think. For those watching, for those listening at home, tell us, you know, out of that group, who you'd be most interested in. I'm very curious at what the rankings would be from our viewers, from our listeners. So definitely let us know. Tell us in the YouTube comment section. Tweet us at Palace of Pistons. Definitely tell us what your thoughts are there, because I think it's a really interesting discussion. And it gives us a perspective on what everyone thinks of how the Pistons should be approaching this offseason. That is everything that we had planned to discuss. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we were going to try to do it as concise as possible. But as always on this show, we tend to go off on different tangents and whatnot. So it's a tale as old as time over here that was going to happen. Overall, I still think we did a good job on the time, keeping everything pretty succinct and timely, but a good conversation as always. Is there anything else that you want to add before we wrap this one up, Jasper?
And you can't say we're going to keep this one short. It's the kiss of death, Aaron. You know, it's the kiss of death.
It doesn't happen over here.
It's the kiss of death, my brother. Well, nah, man, that's it. That's it from me. It's always a pleasure, man. I'm looking forward to hearing what our listeners think of what we said. And like you said, like I'm sure people people's rankings of the guys we talked about, both for president of basketball operations and for these like free agents, I'm sure they're going to be all over the place. So drop us a comment, let us know what you think. And yeah, give us a little explanation of why you think why, because we're always, always willing to look at a different perspective. I think you have to in this league.
No doubt. I'm looking forward to what the people have to say. Hopefully we'll have Mike Anguilano back with us again next week. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, go check out his weekly drive newsletter on palaceofpistons.com. That's going to go to your inbox every Monday from here on out. You can also subscribe to palaceofpistons.com to get those emails each week. The podcast also gets delivered right to your inbox, so you don't have to go searching for it on the platform that you're watching or listening on, or you don't have to find it on Twitter or Instagram. Like it's going to get delivered to your inbox on the morning that we drop the podcast. So take the 30 seconds to go over, type your email in, subscribe, and support Palace of Pistons. Again, follow us on all of our socials as well. Palace of Pistons on Instagram, on Facebook, on X, on TikTok. All of those pages, go and give us a follow. You can follow myself at AJohnsonNBA. You can follow Jasper at Blade Cunningham on X. That is going to do it for this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, brought to you by Believe. Again, thank you to our sponsors, Bet Online, for their consistent and constant support of the show. We will see you all next week for another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.